Today's Perek in Tanakh is Malachim Beit Perek Tet. The Chazal view the two prokim, the one that we had yesterday, the one we have today, as being interrelated as if it's literally the same day. So in other words, even though we find that Chazael had already now, there was a war in which we had Chazael wounding Yoram ben Achav in Ramot Gilad. The truth is that it's possible that Chazael obviously was a high-ranking officer even before, so this might have taken place before, or that it's meant, begetter, the philosophical implications, that the tushlichiyut that Elisha was Mekayim at the end of his life, to be Mamlech Chazael, and to be Mamlech, now Yehu, are interrelated to the point where these Seder Elam Rab views it as being the same day. This happened on the same day. In other words, the same instant that Yehu was made to be Melech was also the instant that Chazael, who was going to be his nemesis, ultimately, was made Melech. So that, remember, if you take a look back at the beginning of this story, we're going to see very many remorse for the beginning of this story in the course of the next parak. Remember that the story begins with Aram as the presence, specifically Ramot Gilad, because of the relationship to Gal'ed and the Aram, the initial Aram, which is Lavan Arami, the willingness to engage in lies, deception, and a world of absurd and hypocritical perceptions. And we've seen how Elisha makes use of the nature of perceptions of people who cannot see, in any event, truth. They see only what their mind tells them. This is part of the game that Elisha plays with people who are willing to play games. That indeed caused the original desire of Yehoshaphat to try to be Makarev. Fact is that he too engaged in elements of hypocrisy, in the sense of willing to go together with Achav. And it was at that point that there was already a gezeira against him to destroy the Malchus, because that chibur with Achav ends up now destroying his children. We see now the whole interrelationship to Omri. What makes Omri king is that he was mitchaten with Yehoshaphat, and now we have Yoram coming from the interrelationship who marries Bat Achav. I mean, it's very complicated now. It's a description of cousins in the two Malchiot. And here is where it reaches its worst expression, in which we find the Melech Yehuda acting as if he is from the Beit Achav, because indeed he comes from the Beit Achav. And we're going to see that in terms of how we're meina the shnos hamalchus, we're meina as if they're interrelated. We already saw Ramazim to this before, in how long Yehoshaphat is considered to be Melech. And it was a gezeira against his malchus from that moment, that he was mischaber in Ramot Gilad. And we find that the Navi yells at him for it also. I wouldn't even talk to you in here. And yeah, you shouldn't even be here, but I'll talk to you because of Kvod Malchus Yehuda. I don't talk even to these Malachim. This is the attitude that the Nevi'im had. And Lamaisa, we don't have all this information here, but in Divrei Hayomim, Elisha actually sends a letter and warns, Eliyahu sends a letter and warns them. This is what's going to happen. Let's actually get the language here. And so when Yehoram becomes now king, we don't even know how vicious the man is. But in Divrei Hayomim, we have now a whole description. He murders his entire family to make sure that no one else is. Vayarog et kol achav, plus a lot of the leading Sarei Yisrael. He kills along with them. And at that point, there too it says, Vayelet b'derech malchi Yisrael, and so on. Kasher beit achav, ki bat achav haitalo liisha. So we have the whole description. Oh, sorry, this is Divrei Hayomim beis chof aleph. So we have the entire description that we have in Malachim, and together with the Pshiat Edom, which is seen as a direct result of the way that he was handled. But here we have this beautiful addition that he also made Bomot in Hare Yehuda, and he was Mediach Yehuda. He was Mizanak Ilo Yoshua Yerushalayim and Mediach Yehuda. He gets a letter. He gets a letter. Boy, that's not the kind of letter you want to find in your mailbox. That's not the kind of, you know, Nachman letters. This is dangerous stuff. So he opens up his mailbox, and there's a letter from Eliyahu HaNavi, which says, Kol amar Hashem Elokei David Avicha. Wow, that's an opening, baby. Tachat asher lo alachta b'darkei Yehoshaphat Avicha, b'darkei Asa Melech Yehuda. Instead of following your own family, you went v'atelu b'darkei Malchei Yisrael, v'taznet Yehuda v'tyoshvei Yerushalayim k'aznot b'et Achav, and gam et achecha b'et Avicha hatovim mimcha. These are better men than you are. You went and killed them. And so what's going to happen? Yinei Adonai nogef magifa gedola ba'amecho v'vanecho v'nashecho v'chol rechushecho. And you are going to die a horrific death. V'ata becholayim rabim. You're going to die of stomach illness. Ad sh'yetzu me'echa menachol yamim al yamim. You're going to be sick for years, where until you're finally, your insides come out. And this is what happened. So he has to suffer with the Plishtim, the Aravim, with Kush, and they take everything from him. We're not told about it, but it says Vayishbu et kol rechush nimtzel beit hamelech. They take everything he's got. They take his wives. They take his children. He's left only with Yolachaz. That's all he's left with. And after that, he gets this horrible illness. So acharei kol zot nigafad anay b'meyav lecholi le'in marpe. And so he finally he gets his insides split open, and they bury him bebizoyan. They don't bury him in the with the Malachim. Belochem does without any sense. I mean, it was a nauseating guy. V'ikberu b'yir David, but lo b'kivrot haMalachim, as we pointed out as the remnant. And that's when they took Achaziah. It was Benoah Katan. All the rest were killed with the Gedudim that the Arabs be Aravim, and so that's all that they had was Achaziah. So all of that story we don't really have here, because it's not part of what's necessary for us to understand in terms of the development of the Malchus. What's important for us is noting the relationship of the Mishpacha of Achav to the Mishpacha of Yehoshaphat, and how badly it decays. So this Achaziah that was the only one left to Yehoram, is now together with Yoram in Yisrael. He's not in Ramot Gilad, and that is what gives us, as Elisha sees, an opportunity to carry out the next part of the shlichut that was given to him by Eliyahu Navi, and that is to destroy Beit Achav. So this is the moment in which they're all mitgaleh in the melo cherbatam. So that Malchi Yehuda have joined up in the exact opposite way that Yehoshaphat, and this is mamash a lesson for Darius, that you can have somebody who is an Adam Gadol, who is a tzaddik, and who wants to be Makariv, which is everything that Yehoshaphat was doing. And in being Makariv the wrong people, his own children end up Mekurav to them, not vice versa. And his entire family and future is destroyed, because 40 years earlier, the grandfather had decided to be Makariv the wrong people. This is mamash what happens over here. So they become like one great family, in which Malchi Yehuda, Malchi Yisrael, we find even that the Malbag has the old Seder, that Arab is the Gedula of Yehoshaphat, that he was now viewed as the Melech, both of Yehuda and Yisrael, because I'll say the opposite, but the point is it was a mixed Malch. That's the point which accounts for all of the strange way in which we measure the years, which as the Seder Elam Rab points out, it's crazy. You have children now that are older than their parents, if we take literally what it says over here. And that's how we come out with an understanding of what the real Ramazan is. Where the Torah changes chronology in strange ways like that, such as we had today in the Gemara, like Arba'im Shana, which is impossible. Couldn't have been Arba'im Shana. But it's Arba'im Shana from the time of Bakashat HaMalchut. It always makes you focus. What event took place at that amount of time? Here too, we're going to find. And what event took place? The event that took place was Yehoshaphat's Kiruv, the original Kiruv. From that moment, Nigzer Gezera against the base Yehoshaphat. Terror.
But all this time, they were not allowed to go to Yerushalayim from the Lord.
Well, I mean, no, we found that Aviyah already had changed that, but then it went up and down. It was a question of how much. I mean, Yerovam's own son already was trying to be makil on that. They were at that market. So obviously, once Yehoshaphat and him are making peace, there's no reason to be that market. Afterwards, we found again that he was nervous. That's why he kept, doesn't say that he answered, that's why he kept the agalot. They were still worried about who was going to be considered to be the ikar, but there's no longer that kind of distance that was between them. And so, the Elisha Navi, Kara le'achad mibnei ha-Nevi'im. Elisha calls one of the Nevi'im. He doesn't do this himself. And indeed, Chazal bring a raya from here, the Shulchot Shel Adam Kamoto. Because the mitzvah was to him, take over now what it was that Eliyahu was doing. So this is what you're going to have to do. And he does it alpi a shriach instead of begufo. So first of all, it could be that there's no inyan to do something that has horrific consequences, even though it's a mitzvah. But since it's koruch with murder and so on, maybe it's not a mitzvah to do it begufo. You certainly can't bring a raya to that here, because he couldn't do it begufo. Recognize that Elisha, wherever he goes, everybody knows that he's there and what he's doing. He walked into Damascus for a completely personal thing. Within minutes, people were coming to him from the Beit HaMelucha, asking him to please, to pray, to tell us that. I mean, he was an international celebrity at this point. Everybody. Those that were the most against him, the Gehazi Ubana of Yehoram the Melech, were talking already about him. The stories are circulating all over. Naaman, this is like the greatest man in the whole country, believes that this is the answer to all our problems. The king, Ben-Hadad, sees him as being Avi, calls him. Chazael, Adoni, calls him. And it's an unbelievable standing that the Malachim didn't have. You could say what you want to kings, you could define the nature of reality, and this is as HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Nevi'im later. I'm making you the ruler over here. La'aros, la'be, you can build, you can destroy. The whole world is you. That's the keach of the Navi that's being presented here in Malachim, that only later we find how powerful it is at the time of the Churban and the all of the Umas Elam are being defined by what the Navi says, not by the UN and by their interrelationships. And that's where we're holding today. It's an unbelievable world. Everybody's making their absurd little plans. And, things that nobody would dream of suddenly change all of reality overnight. I mean, this is where we're at. So that the moment of the opening that he has, and the opening is very clear. The army is in Ramot Gilad. That's always very dangerous. When the army is in one place, and the king's in another place, that's where you have rebellion. And so now at this point, the king couldn't be in Ramot Gilad, which was the area that was being affected by the attack of the Aram, because he needed to go to Israel for the Beit HaKholim. So the hospital, as today, was the name of Israel. So there he went. And he wasn't, because of that, so Melech Yehuda comes to join him. He wants to be Mevaker Chayla to his cousin. So the two Melechim are there. They, the army, is in Ramot Gilad. And they're watching the borders now for further attacks of Hazael. So Elisha can't go there without everybody. What in the world is Elisha going to Ramot Gilad for? So he sends a Na'ar, one of the Bnei HaNaviim. Chazal tell us this is Yonah ben Amittai. Yonah ben Amittai is called ben Amittai because Eliyahu was the Navi Emet. So he's the son of the Isha, that is the Tzarfati. So the entire story goes all the way back to the original insertion of Eliyahu into the life of the Am, which now becomes Elisha as the Pishnayim Baruch HaKam, which now is the one to destroy the very Malchus that Eliyahu saw as being what's destroying Klal Yisrael. So it's an amazing vision from the point of view of the historical perspective. It's awesome. So this is the way Chazal see it. Okay, so here comes Yonah ben Amittai. We just talked about the Isha Shunamit. You know, Zot HaYisha v'Zebina, and here comes Zebina of the other Isha, the Isha Tzarfatit, which was the first half of the Pishnayim Baruch HaKam. Beautiful, beautiful. So he sends him, and nobody's supposed to know what he's doing. Nobody's going to pay attention to him. And says to him, look, I have a very delicate mission. Chagor Motnecha, whenever we say Chagor Motnecha, it's because you're going to be doing something gutsy, and you better be prepared for taking action and having guts. Otherwise, you don't have to say Chagor Motnecha, I'll just send you. So Chagor Motnecha means, be prepared, buddy. Kach pach Hashemen hazev yadecha. And of course, once we see you're taking a pach Hashemen, we know we're in trouble. Because Rama karni, velo Rama pachi. And we understand if we're going to use a pach, then it's not going to be nimshach, the malchut. He specifically tells him, take a pach Hashemen. Velech Ramot Gilad. Go to Ramot Gilad. Ubat Hashemah. When you come there, ure'esham, which means make certain that you, same thing that we saw, bivnei yishai, ra'iti. Okay, so now the Navi comes, but he asks, you ra'iti, but who is it that I'm being ra'iti? That was the whole thing, anochi ha'ro'e. So he says to him, you be ra'esham, make sure that you're picking out the right guy. The guy is Yehu ben Yehoshaphat ben Nimshi. I want you to find this guy, uvata, va'akemoto mitoch echav, lift him up and get him out of the room. Go into a very private place, veiveto to cheder b'choder, v'lakach ta pach ha-shemen, and there take out the pach ha-shemen, v'yotzak ta al rosho, v'yomar ta ko amar Adonai, v'shachticha l'melech ha-Yisrael. Just say that, and then open the door and scram. U'patach ta ha-delet, v'nasta, v'lo techakeh, do not wait beyond that. Now, it's not clear what that's all about. The pashtus is, it's part of the Chagor Motnecha. You're about to do something very dangerous. If this doesn't work in the easiest way, and there's going to be a reaction, the cops are going to be after you within minutes if they realize that something has happened. So get out of there. However, we are about to see that there's something very delicate other than that that worries Elisha and wants him to make certain that Yonah is out of the way. And that is Vayelech Hana'ar. Hana'ar Hanavi. Uh-oh. Double lashon, hanar, hanar, hanavi. Now we know that the whole problem of a nar is always the pleasure that they take in being the ones that achieve the goals. This is what happened to Gehazi. This was the danger of Yosef. And therefore it's part kabbalistically of a nar that always gets out of the way. It was a human interface in such reactions, goes flaccid. And that's the point. You have to get out of the way. What you're there for is for the power of the impregnating, what's going to happen. But that's all. Everything else is left to take its own place. The moment that a Nar starts standing up for himself, he becomes a problem, not a solution. And this is exactly what the brothers detected in Yosef. You know, this guy is dangerous, just as Gehazi was dangerous, just as he prevented the development of the Bnei HaNaviim and so on. So on one level, Elisha wants wants him out of the way. But the next pasuk is saying, but this is not only your na'ar that needs to achieve what you tell him to say. He's also hanar hanavi. Therefore, says the Malban, he is going to end up giving his own nevi'ut and not getting out of the way. So he's first said, he does what it is he's told to do, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a separate nevius, which is why it stresses that the godless of Yonah is that he remains a nar, despite the fact that there's a shlichus directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only, which is of course the whole interrelationship of Yoshua nar to Moshe, and what happens at the end of his life where Moshe, Yoshua is given the nevius and Moshe isn't given the nevius. And then Moshe says, that I can't take. You know, so even though I was praying to live and so on, but lo rega shalkina, that I'm not ready to live. This is fascinating. This really becomes the last act of Elisha, as we'll see later. So the, yeah.
Why are all the nar Gehazi anonymous?
Why don't we say the name? That's the point. A nar is always anonymous.
But Gehazi is always
anonymous. Exactly, because he's not a decent nar. That's the point. Yosef is anonymous. His name means another child. That's what you know. How do you name your kid? Give me another child. Can you imagine naming your kid in English? Give me a different one.
The next one.
It's amazing. But that's the point of an art. That's the whole issue. And so, Vayovo, he does indeed come in, and guess what? He walks right into a meeting. He's got the entire army to all of the generals that are having now a meeting, and he walks into this room. This is a weird scene. Vayomer davar le'elecha asar, minister, I have something to say to you, which of course becomes the English sir, right? Sir. So sir, I have something to say to you. Vayomer Yehu, el mimi kulanu. Now obviously Yehu is the leader here, because otherwise why is he talking? I didn't say he was talking to a group. El mimi kulanu, who of all of us would you wish to talk to? Vayomer le'elecha asar, it's to you, sir. Vayakom, so he gets up, vayavo habayta, vayitzok Hashem en ha'rasho, he does the whole thing. Vayomer lo, now he gives him a whole nevi'ut that we don't see that Elisha told him. Vayomer lo, ko ama Adonai Elohim Yisrael. Yisrael. So I have made you a king over the Am Hashem. So now he's asserting that Yisrael, with all that has gone wrong, is be'etzem the Am Hashem, and it's the Beit HaMalchut that is destructive, not the Am Hashem. Which means that what it is that I want you to be is the man that's going to make this back into the Am Hashem. And your job is to destroy that, which was matcheh, mezaneh, as we found the Lashon Divrei Hayomim, Yisrael, from me, v'kitat beit achav adonecha, you are to wipe out your master's family. V'nikamti d'nei avadai ha-neviim, and that will be the nekama of all of the neviim that were killed by Zevel, who to make kol avdei Adonai miyadi Zevel. V'avad ko beit achav, and the entire house of Achav will be lost forever. V'chrati la'achav mashtim bekir, v'yatsur v'yazuv b'Yisrael. There will be nothing left, even the mashtim bekir, which means a dog or any male of his family, and the lowest of the low. Nobody, even the people going around trying to beg money on the street corners, not even that will be left. V'natati beit achav ke beit yiravam benevat, u'chveit ba'asha ben achia, as was, of course, the nevius of Eliyahu originally, at the point that they met there in the chariot, in which poor Achav went home and was very depressed. But good old Izebel, she cheered him up. And so continues the nevius, Ve'et Izebel yochlu aklavim. I said that whoever is left from Achav will be eaten by the dogs. Well, the truth is, what I was referring to, what Eliyahu was referring to, was Izebel herself. She will be eaten by the dogs, Bechelek Yisrael. Chelek Yisrael, that sounds familiar. As we know about places in Yisrael, of course, that was where Izebel had done the worst of her damage, and that's the Kerem Nevot HaYisraeli. Ve'in kover, and no one will be there to bury her. Va'yiftach ha'delet, and only then he opens up the door and runs out. Ve'yeru yatzal avdei Adonam. So he goes out back into the meeting, and here he's talking not to the Sarim, he's talking to avdei Adonav, which is very dangerous. It's one thing to be talking to his subordinates in the army. It's another to talk to the loyal subordinates of the king, at which he is now insubordinate to. So now this is a delicate moment. So they say to him, Vayomalo, Ashalom, is everything okay? Why'd that nut come to you? Madua ba meshugaza alecha. Vayomalayim, so he says to them, Atem yadatem et ha'ish v'tzich. Come on. He's one of these madmen. What's the difference what he said? Vayomu sheker. Come on, you're lying. Haged nalonu. Tell us. Vayomalo, okay, you want to know? Kazot v'kazot amare ilay lemor. Told him the whole Nevi'ahs. According to Zatz, the Kazot, Kazot. Ko amai Adonai, Mishachticha lamelech al Yisrael. And so, you can hear the Mishicha right now in the background. Turn, open the door. You know, a lot of sound effects just to make sure that the Nach. Vayitku b'shofar. Why don't you open the doors? Everybody can hear the shofar. Open up. They stop me. Vayitku b'shofar, and they blow the shofar. So vayimaru, they immediately, vayiku ish pigdo, everybody takes his own beged as a support for the new king to show their. What's the problem? You never saw chivalry? It's an act of chivalry. You take off your coat and you let him step on it. Vayasimu tachtav, and they put it underneath him to walk on. So he's got now this red carpet going up Gerem HaMahalot, which of course is a sun clock, so that the sun, as it hits the various levels, each one sticks out like a step. So as it steps up, you know what time it is, which of course gives the whole thing this beautiful historical sense. You know, like they do on the internet, you have this thermometer rising, or the percentage is cutting across the screen. So they put him up on the Gerem HaMahalot. Vayitku b'shofar, and now they blow the shofar, and vayomru malach yehu. Now, what in the world? How did this happen? What's going on? And all of a sudden, the whole thing takes place instantly. And first he's a meshugah, and so you know he's a meshugah. Come off it, we know he's a meshugah, you're a liar. What did he tell you? So obviously, and we'll see later on, it's clear that everybody knew Yehu's opinion about the Malchus. We're going to see later when he comes, in fact, to Israel, the reaction to Yehu. He was always considered to be something of a dangerous kind of guy who does things his own way. The obvious common hypocrisy in the kingdom, just as we saw from Yoram earlier, was to pretend that a Navi has nothing to say. We're not going to pay attention to the Navi. If we get a message from Aram to hear something, we're not going to think about a Navi. If the Navi promises us that tomorrow we're going to have a solas b'shekel, it couldn't be that the Arba, sorry, Mitzorayim are telling the truth. There's a concerted effort to pretend that Nevi'im have nothing to say. And therefore the focus on a Navi is a madman, which in fact it's true, as the Radak points out. We find, indeed, the Pasuk describing the Shiga'on of Nevi'im, because they were normal. I mean, there's an Elion Navi running around with his Viking outfit and so on. I mean, this is a, you know, with his crazy hair, and it's a mad situation. And then when you get Nevi'ut, you lose control of your body. And so of course they refer to them as Meshugayim. If you wanted to put down the Nevi'ut, so you pretended, okay, so it's Meshugah. So what did he say? Nothing. You know he's crazy. Come off it, damn it. Tell us. No, he's not crazy. If this is the moment, then tell us. So in other words, all along, there's always been this undercurrent of the feeling that things are falling apart. And here is the army in an obvious situation for creating a merida. There's nobody around. The kings aren't here. There's no real control. This is a meeting between the highest generals. It's the Sarim. There is no better moment for the bomb that knocks off Hitler. This is exactly what happens all the time. So Memela, what he did is he triggered. The Nar, as always, triggers something. Now the question is, so he says to them, look, you know, this is what he said. I'm not saying anything. They were the ones who immediately said, if that's the case, this is the moment. Because these losers are just destroying our country. Both of them. They're losers. We're losing Edom, we lost Moab. We can't go on like this. They're afraid of their own shadows. They're just destroying our morality. We don't need them. If there's a moment of opening, then a Navi comes and gives now a way to be Makasha Kesha, then obviously you want to destroy it.
It's a sudden crisis.
Yeah. And so they immediately blow on the shofar, they say, Malach Yehu, Vayitkasher Yehu ben Yehoshaphat ben Nimshi el Yoram. And there is Yehu who now starts the Kesha, the Kabbalah, against Yoram. Because Aminu of Yoram, Ayashomer Baramot Gilad, Hu v'cho Yisrael v'dei Chazael Melach Aram. I mean, initially, the whole point of being in Ramot Gilad was to create now a protected area against the invasion of Aram. And meanwhile, Yehoram had to go to Israel because he was wounded. So, Vayashov Yehoram HaMelech Yitrapei B'Yisrael Min HaMakim Asher Yakur Aramim B'Lachamo Et Chazael Melech Aram. So he had been wounded in that very war, which means that now Ramot Gilad was separated from the direct control of the king, which is the reason that the first thing that Yehu does is, Vayomer Yehu, Im Yesh Nafshechem, look, if you really want this to work. Now, I'm not asserting anything. If you guys want me to be king, the first thing that we need to do is seal the city. Al Yetzei Palit Ben Ha'ir, no one can leave this city, because there's bound to be some loyalists here. If anybody leaves the city, The word's going to get Lagid be Israel. So Ayetze Palit Ben El Lechet Lagid be Israel, because if the king is forewarned, then we're not going to succeed. If we can just get there without anybody knowing, before they have a chance to organize a defense, we could take over the whole thing instantly. They're completely unaware of what's happening. And so Yehu now takes his chariot, Vayelech Yisraela, Kiyorim Shochev Shana. He now begins to drive to Israel. V'achaziah Melech Yehuda Yarad Lirot Et Yoram. And remember that the other Melech, and we view them now as being completely interdependent, as if it's one Malchut. He wasn't told anything by the Navi about what to do to Melech Yehuda. He was only told to act against Beit Achav. And yet, he takes for granted both of these guys we're going to have to get rid of. And therefore, the Torah puts in now, the Navi puts in, that Achaziah was there also, which is the perfect moment. Because you can't have Yehuda coming out to protect the Kayach of the Malchus that they believe is their cousins, it's their Beit HaMalchut, against this usurper. And now here is where we see how much they were aware of Yehu as a dangerous person. He was clearly an outstanding general that had idiosyncrasies that were well known and that were looked at as hopefully harmless idiosyncrasies. One of his idiosyncrasies, surprisingly, is that he drove like a madman. So that, you know, here he had his Jaguar, and you could tell the only guy who would drive like that is Yehu. Nobody normal drives a car like that. So this is amazing that the watchman is able to pick out the fact that Yehu is also a nut. Uses the same lotion as the Nar HaNavi, which cannot be a coincidence. There's just two nuts in this story. One nut is the Nar HaNavi talking now to another nut, who everybody knows is a nut. And that's Yehu. So there's a watchman on the Migdal in Israel. And so he sees this mob that's coming with smoke going up in the air, you know, with the galloping chariots and so on. This is wild. This is kind of, whew. I don't know what the equivalent word would be in English for a shifat. But you sense like a mob coming. And it's, huh? No, but it's just like the whole sense of a bunch of cars and the wheels are churning up the road, and it's like you see a dust cloud behind them. There must be. Shifat doesn't have to be a mad rabbi. It could be an army that's coming. But okay, it's a beautiful word. I don't know in English if there's a good equivalent for it, because it gets that whole sense of a very visible and impactful. You know, so you just get a feeling of the whole road is filling up and the smoke is churning up to the sky. And wow. Vayomer Yoram, so Yoram says, "What the heck is that?" Kach rakav ushlach lekratam. Vayomer Hashalom. Same word that was asked when the first Mishugah came. So just send out a rider and ask them, is everything okay? Why would we be getting an emergency chariot coming from the direction of Ramot Gilad? Is everything all right? Have they been overrun? Vayelich rochev asus mikratu. Vayomer komar hamelach ashalom. Vayomer, what the hell? Shalom? You really believe that what you're involved with has something to do with shalom? Get back in line over here and come after me. Malach al shalom. There is no shalom. Ain't shalom l'rasha'im v'yomar Hashem. There's a sense. What, would you think there's a hope for peace with these kind of leaders? There's no peace. This is Mamash Sukkotember. There's no peace. Follow me and knock him off. So the lacharai. And he does. So everybody is ready to join up instantly. Okay. Everybody's fed up to the gills. Just give them an option. And they grab it. It's amazing. Here's the people a day before are hopeless. And you gotta pretend the Navi's crazy and everything's crazy. The next day, it's Yisroel B'tach B'Hashem. These guys are the phonies. Follow me. It's unbelievable. Mamish. Minakatz alakatz. Exactly what you see in the modern history. Vayagedat sofele mor. Boy, this is weird. Says the watchman. Ba malach ad heim. The messenger went to them, but never came back. Veloshav. So they send out another messenger. Vayishlach rochev sus. This time they send out a horseman, sheni. Vayomer ko amar melech. This time he doesn't say ha-shalom. He says, uh-oh. Shalom. Hello. Vayomer yehu. What kind of shalom? Malach ala shalom. Follow me. So valach arayim. Vayagenat so failing more. So again, the watchman says, this is unbelievable. Ba'ad aleihem. He gets to them and he doesn't come back. And I can tell you, the driving, there's only one guy who could be driving. I mean, hakiminag yehu benim shiki bishigon yinag. Nobody drives like that. The guy's mad. He's taking the curves at 80 miles an hour. This has got to be Yehu. That's an unbelievable story. So they know him so well that he is the madman. So he's driving like a nut. It's a beautiful story. Now Yehoram is getting a little bit suspicious of what's going on. Yeah, oh my God, either there's a disaster, we got trouble. Let me run out there. So Vayomer Yehoram Esor. Vayesor Yichbo. Vayetzi Yehoram Melech Yisrael. And Achaziyahu Melech Yehuda comes with them. Yishbo. They both get into their cars and drive out, being so completely wrapped up in their own stupidities that they don't even take any kind of precautions now. They're going to go out and they're going to greet the guy thinking that the majesty of their own position will certainly instantly break up any kind of thoughts that Yehu might have of, you know, doing something that's wrong.
Why are they assuming he's coming to tell them about the emergency?
That could also be, but something he's asking Hashalom and the guy's disappearing. There's obviously some suspicion here, but at the same time, there's no fear. No, go out. And so they drive together. Vayikirot Yehoram et Yehu. So sure enough, he sees Yehu. I'm sorry. And so they both come out, Vayetzu lekrat Yehu, and guess where they meet him? Unbelievable. Where else but in Chelkat Navot HaYisraeli, in the very place where the destination of death was waiting. For that act of taking that Chelkat Navot HaYisraeli, that's where the whole thing was nigzar. And amazingly, he just happens to meet him in the yard of Navot. Vayikirot Yoram et Yehu, it doesn't even occur to him. Wow, that's an interesting name. It's just another piece of property. So Yoram sees Yehu. Obviously, that would be the area where he studied. That's where he wanted the beautiful Sada and so on. So it was clear that they had a summer home there. We saw that before, that the Malchus had built an extension of the Malchus there. And so he was in the summer palace, so to speak. So he says to him, the moment he sees him, Vayikirot Yoram et Yehu, Vayomer, everything okay, Yehu? Hashalom Yehu. Vayomer, what kind of chutzpah for a bastard like you to talk about shalom instead of Zenune Zevelim Chauch Shafei Rabim? There's going to be peace for you and your rotten mother who went around now with all of her znut after Avodat Kochavim and her kshafim and her own personal involvement. He immediately says, oh, I'm in trouble. Vayapuch Yoram Yadav Vayanos. And so he mentions with his hand to the driver, turn around. Vayomer Achaziah screams out to the next car, Mirma Achazia, this is all an attack. Get out of here. The Yehu Mileya Doba Keshet Yehu takes out his gun. If I yak at Yoram, he shoots Yoram in the back. Bein Zero Av, between his shoulder blades, and the arrow penetrates his heart. Vayetzi Achetzi Milibo, and he now collapses in the Rechet. Vayichra Birichbo. Vayomer, and so he says, El Bitkar Shalisho, Sa. And he specifically says now to the guy who's with him, the Mifchar Shalishav, we had same lashon, Shalisha means his guy, right? So the best guy is his leading supporter. Pick up the king and throw his corpse into the field here that belonged to Navot. You remember, Kizachor ani v'ata, both of us were there when we heard what Eliyahu said to him, that he's going to die right here, and the house of Achav will be destroyed right here. Zachor ani v'ata, we were right there, rochvim tzmadim achare Achav Aviv. We were in the very next chariot when that whole story happened. V'adonai nasala v'tamaseh hazeh. It was at that point that Eliyahu told him what was going to be, and we heard it with our own ears. This is a kiyum of that nevius. His body is not meant to be honored in any way. Throw him right there from the Chalkat Navot. Just take him there in the yard to make sure that that's where it was. So the two people, it's an amazing story. It happened to work out that the two people that heard, overheard, that were close enough, that were tzamut, that were close enough to hear the words of Eliyahu speaking to Achav, ended up being the ones who would carry out that masa of Eliyahu to Achav. And if we just find this out, Achav, as he's speaking to the guy, you remember, we were the ones that were right there. So we weren't just right there. The whole thing was meant. Milchatchila, the guy who would carry it out, that's an unbelievable story, was the one that overheard Eliyahu. And now, all of these years, decades later, all of this is now coming to a head, and they go out to be Mekayim, the Nevius, that was given to Eliyahu that they overheard. Meanwhile, Vachaziah, Melech, You remember what he said? What he said was, Tim, I saw the blood of Navot and the blood of all the children that could have been. Remember, Demei is, we darshan there. I saw it yesterday, Nu'um Adonai. V'shilam tilachan, I will pay you back right here, Bachalka hazot, that you murdered, that Izebel murdered to get. So saith the Lord, That's what we heard. So don't feel bad about taking the body of a king and dumping it. This is what the original Levi'ut was, and this is what we need to be mikayim. So what we have here, therefore, is a story that begins with Eliyahu himself. Eliyahu, not only Eliyahu, at the moment of his Nevi'ut Ahav and the central relationship of Izevel and Ahav and Eliyahu at that moment, which now comes to fruition. But Eliyahu as the one who was given the Shlichut originally at Har Sinai to be able to destroy Yisrael through Hazael and to destroy Beit Ahav through Yehu, utilizing his own ben that he was Mechayeh as Yonah ben Amittai, who becomes now, in the Malbim's word, the one who is the Nar HaNavi, who was a Navi to the words of Eliyahu, to the generals who had happened to overhear the words of Eliyahu at that point. He puts them all together, boom. And with that moment of Yonah coming as the Shliach of Elisha, was the presence of Eliyahu into the story of Yoram, who's involved now with Gehazi, who becomes the one in Damascus that causes Hazael to be king, which now is the one who wounds Yehoram, which brings Ahaz and Yehoram together to be destroyed by what happens on that very same day, who was given over now the Shlichut to Yehu. Crash. So what we have here, therefore, is a story that begins with Eliyahu himself. Eliyahu, not only Eliyahu, at the moment of his Nevi'ut Ahav and the central relationship of Izevel and Ahav and Eliyahu at that moment, which now comes to fruition. But Eliyahu as the one who was given the Shlichut originally at Har Sinai to be able to destroy Yisrael through Hazael and to destroy Beit Ahav through Yehu, utilizing his own ben that he was Mechayeh as Yonah ben Amittai, who becomes now, in the Malbim's word, the one who is the Nar HaNavi, who was a Navi to the words of Eliyahu, to the generals who had happened to overhear the words of Eliyahu at that point. He puts them all together, boom. And with that moment of Yonah coming as the Shliach of Elisha, was the presence of Eliyahu into the story of Yoram, who's involved now with Gehazi, who becomes the one in Damascus that causes Hazael to be king, which now is the one who wounds Yehoram, which brings Ahaz and Yoram together to be destroyed by what happens on that very same day, who was given over now the Shlichut to Yehu. Crash. Ve'achaziah melech Yehuda ra'a v'yonas derech Beit Hagan. Ahazio had reason to believe that he was going to be the next victim. And the pasuk will make that clear soon. But we understand why, because he's only here being as he's supportive of his cousin, Yoram, as if it's a single malchus. And so he realizes that he has to run. Vayonas derech Beit Hagan. And so he goes through this derech of the Gan from Israel towards Shomron. Vayirdof acharav Yehu. Vayomer gamoto iku el amerkava. And he gives an order, kill him also, as he is running in his chariot. B'malegur, not that he told him, kill him, b'malegur, but that's the place where they shot him, so that they were caught up with him there. Asher et Yivla'am, which is in Yivla'am, we'll take out a map in a moment, which is here available on the net. Vayonos Megiddo, they continue to drive with him wounded in the chariot to get to Megiddo. Vayomot Shaman, it was there that he died. Vayarkivo to Avadav Yerushalayim, they brought him all the way to Yerushalayim. Vayikberu oto bikvurato im avotav beir David, and buried him there. Now, this is a rather strange story because we have three versions of the story. Now, remarkably, in Divrei Hayomim, it says that what actually happened was that he was hiding out in Shomron, umitchabe b'Shomron, and Yehu finds him there and kills him there, which is nothing like it says over here that he was running away and he was on his way to Megiddo and or to Shomron, and that's where they killed him. If you take a look at your map, Rabbanei, we have the maps. If you take a look at the map, he is running from Ramot Gilad, obviously neighboring Hayarden. Yehu had come from Ramot Gilad to Israel, where he attacked them by surprise. And he started to run towards Shomron at the area of Yivla'am. He was shot and turned B'Ma'ale Gur, which is the derech, from Beit Hagan to Megiddo. And there he turned, went up to Megiddo. So that in the end, he was taken as a corpse back to Yerushalayim and buried. That's the story here. So again, it's a very different story than we see over there. And it's there it says, Vayevi'ehu, Yehu. They actually brought him when they found him, being mitchabeh. Now, as Barnea pointed out yesterday, there are some fascinating interrelationships of the mitchaber that goes all the way back to the original attack of Ben Hadad. But what's more, the most striking of the Ramazim is that the shlichut was to go cheder betol cheder, which is exactly the lashon that happened when Ben Hadad went to Shomron. When he came out and they decided to present themselves to Melech Yisrael, which is obviously connected to the Arba Mitzrayim, that present themselves to Aram, because maybe, and we've heard that the Jews are very liberal, so we'll go there. It's clear that the cheder betol cheder, this is the culmination of the Neviut of Elio, which was given because of the fact at the end that this is what you do to my enemy. I take him mitoch cheder, presented to Achav. So now to destroy Achav, Yehu is also taking cheder betol cheder. These other remuzim are also elements that happened back in the story of that original war. So that's the other version. Remarkably, this is one of the most astonishing things, the third version is Chazael's own version, in which Chazael writes, and this has been found now in Tel Dan. So he put up a whole monument about how the great success he's had in destroying Yisrael, which we're going to see in later Prakim, and I put this I linked it to the following parak, not to this parak, but part of what he says over there is that his lashon is, at least it was always thought that his lashon was, I can barely read this, I made it so small, that what I slew the kings, and I killed Yehoram ben Achav, the king of Yisrael, and I killed Achazyahu ben Yehoram of the house of David. Oh, here you have him on. Okay. Yeah. So he mentions that he killed them. So everybody always said that this is one of those, you know, contradictions. I mean, obviously when you have Chazael writing a letter, he writes first of all kinds of things, I mean, which originally were thought to be different. So he claims that he got the Malchut from Ben-Hadad and that he was the one himself who killed these kings. Barnea is now showing me that there's recent... Okay, there's recent scholarship from very respected people in the field that say, read properly, it doesn't say that. It says that I usurped the Malchus from Ben-Hadad, and it says that I was Gerim, that they should be killed, which is exactly the story that we have over here in both Malachim and Divrei Hayom. Now, the fact that it says Beit David, of course, the archaeologists who cannot accept the fact that it was a Beit David at the time of Chazael, Chas v'Shalom, have decided that certainly when you're listing a list of the Malachim that you kill, you're not going to talk about Beit David. You must be talking about the kettle manufacturing town. Probably it means Beit Dud. This guy is a dud, let me tell you. In any event...
It's another riot that he continues to say, Yehu of Omri.
Yeah, of course, so, the thing is, it's a contrast. But one of the most beautiful things of the Bilam S contingents in the... you know, they call it the Pihaton, is the student's newspaper. Right. Pihaton, they call it. So some of the things that the Pihaton, other things that the Pihaton does, is the whole point of Bilam is that things have no context. You know, so if I look at the word Dalet Vav Dalet, what does that mean? Great. When you look at Dalet Vav Dalet in the context of the son of Yehu, the Melech of Yisrael, the son of Yehoshaphat, Beit David, I wiped out. No, it really means the kettle house. So, okay, these guys went ahead and they are now selling potato chips, I last heard. In any event, we go on now. So he's running away. So how do we square the two accounts? So the Gemara squares. The Gemara says when it says, Humit Chabei B'Shomron, it has nothing to do with the Maisa here. Humit Chabei B'Shomron is a description of what it is that he did to become part of Shomron. So that he used to go and do secretly things that he would have gotten killed for if he had done in Yehuda. So he would be mitchabe b'shomron. This was the derech of what he used to do. And he would rip out the Shemot Hashem from Tefillin, from Sifrei Torah, and insert the names of Avodah Zarah. So this made him part of the whole Maisa of Beit Achav in Shomron. Because of that, bringing that idea to Yehu, he was killed. It doesn't mean that was the story of right now. So Rashi brings this, that this must be because of the fact that of the steer that we have here between Molochim and the Divrei Hayomim, that's how Chazal interpreted that Hu Mitchabe B'Shomron. Now, because of this, it's clear with that Gemara, and this is actually a Gemara we're going to be having soon in Sanhedrin, with that Gemara, it's clear that the Pasuk is trying to make us understand why it is that Yehu would have gone after him. So this, that he was Mitzchabeh B'Shomron, connects here in Malachim to the next Pasuk, which makes no sense. U'bishnat achadesrei shana liyoram ben Achav, malach achazya al Yehuda. What? Where are we going now? First of all, it's a contradiction. First it's a 10... Now it says 11. What is happening? And why are we reviewing this whole idea? I mean, first it said 12, rather, right? Before it said 12, now it says 11. And there's no way that it could have been anything but 12. Because he became a melech, Bishnat Chamesh Lioram, it says, and he was Shmona Shanim Malach. So why does it say 11? So one approach is that because of the illness that we saw in Divrei Hayamim, that his father was so disgustingly sick that nobody could stand around him, so he was Mamlech Achazio while he was still alive. And that was his Choli Me'ayim, where Yetzu Me'av, and they couldn't even bury him properly, and so on. But it's also, there's a tremendous difference in the way, and here too, it's from the Divrei Hayamim that we come to understand what happened, in the way in which the ages are described. Because over here it says, Ben Esrim V'Shtayim Shana Achazio B'Molcho. And yet in the Divrei Hayamim it says, Ben Arba'im V'Shtayim Shana B'Molcho. Now obviously he couldn't have been Arba'im V'Shtayim, because then he would have been older than his father. Because Yehoram was a total of 40 years old when he died. Because it says he was 32 years old when he became Melech, and he was Shmona Shana Malach. So the lashon of the Medrash is Hech Efshar Leben Liot Kashish Me'aviv. How could he be older than his father? So therefore, it must be that if you take a look 42 years before, you turn out that this is from the Seder Olam. We see that that was the time in which there was the intermarriage of the two kingdoms, so that we have the Asa goes ahead now and marries he takes for Yehoshaphat, he takes the daughter of Omri, and at that point Nigzer Gzera al Beit David, from that moment on. And Rashi points out that when you make the Cheshbon, it comes out to be exactly 42 years. Seyuch Shov, says Rashi, if you take from the 31st year of Asa, when that takes place, until Achazio, you have 42 years. So that means from both sides, here and in Divrei Hayamim, we come out with a picture of a gezer, and I pointed out to you, whenever we have these weird timelines, they're meant to point to something that you weren't paying attention to. So the same thing we had before, it was Vayila Arba'im Shana, which was insane because it was only 3 years that was possible. It meant Arba'im Shana from the time of the Bakashat HaMalchut. Here Arba'im V'Shtayim Shana is impossible, and therefore it has to point to something. Count back 42 years, and you recognize what it points to. The intermarriage of Malchus Yehuda with Malchus Yisroel. It wasn't just an intermarriage. The marriage is what legitimized the whole story of Omri from the first place. So these ideas of marriages are central to understanding everything that comes, because it's Atalia, the story that is going to be focused on soon. It's Izebel, who is also viewed, as we'll see in a moment, by Yehu, as a Bat Melech, even though she's coming from the Malchut of the Tzidonim. But that's not the point. It's the interrelationship that we've seen all along between these various Britot that have taken place from the time of Shlomo HaMelech in terms of women. And going back to the story of Shimshon and going into the future of going back to building the Beis HaMikdash HaSheni, and the same idea with their Mazkir Shlomo, when they tell everybody, look at what happened to Shlomo, this is the way we're going to start building the Beis HaMikdash with Nashim Nochriot. It's astonishing. I mean, how it is that Izebel was the source of the whole way that Achav not only behaved, but the man wasn't even a king. I mean, she made him everything. And over here, Atalia takes, as we're going to see, control of the whole Malucha. We're talking about an entire period of Malucha that is defined by the women that are married. So that it's not just behind every great man is a great woman. It's that the entire Hanhaga is defined by these women. And that's really the getter of the Imot in Yisrael from the time of Rivka on. And we found even by Sarah, Shema Lekol Ruach HaKodesh Shema, that we just had. That's the Yiska, when she's initially introduced. So this is not an adjunct. This is Ema Malchut, exactly, the story of Rut. Malchut is linked to women. That's clear from the very beginning.
Maybe Shlomo can only resist the appeal of Bathsheba because Ema Malchut was sitting there. Maybe that's
place. Why was synagogue that should be there when Purim is there?
Well, we don't know. That's the case. In any event, now getting back to our story, now that we've had this pasuk that indicates the interrelationship between Yoram and Ahaziah, which is the interrelationship between Yisrael and Yehuda, which was intolerable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and which Yehu understood needed to be dealt with, Fayavo Yehu Yisraela, and there is Izebel. Now, it's clear to Izebel, I think that to us, although there is a very strong movement among the Mepharshim to view Izebel as weak, and as attempting even to be seductive at the very end, I think that as time has gone on, it's become clearer and clearer to people. There are stories that become clearer, b'meshach haderes, that Izebel is actually a very powerful woman. It's not that she would have been seductive. And so when it says Izebel Shama, it means that it became clear to her that Shmieli, she understood what was happening. There was no backing that she was getting. So she understands if now Yehu is coming into Israel, there's no organized defense. There's nobody who's telling her, let's fight him off. She understood that it's over. Now, if it's over, she is going to go in a big way. That's the point. And we find this, the Gemara says, you know, it was the same thing happened with Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. You need to dress up when you're about to be executed. You don't give up your covet. This, historically, that's why I say it becomes clear. But Meshach Hadoreis, that people that were taken from Malchus to be killed, this is like one of the big Ramazim, right, in Scotland and so on. This becomes now the way you go to execution is that the executioner is embarrassed. And so she, Vatasim Bapuche, now she dresses up to kill. She puts on her eyeshadow, which of course prevents also tearing. Vatete Vet Rosha. She does her hair up, and she, that tashkef, of course, is very meaningful, puts her together with back to Em Sisra, and all of the lashons of shekef, which is the hatred and midas adin, the only hashkafa, as the Gemara points out, that is letova, zashkifa, mimon kochecha, min hashemayim, which is that midas adin is turned to midas harachamim by doing maaser and so on. And we'll see that interestingly, has to do with her. Yehu ba bashar, and he enters into now the gates of the palace. Vatomer, and she too says 10 times the word shalom is repeated here. Because the point of the parak is to bring out the hypocrisy of what had been going on until now. And it's so clear that this is what happens. The instantaneous rebellion, just add water. From the very beginning, when Yehu walks out back into the conference, in which all the, come on, tell us already. There was a sense, thank God, there's some way to get over this business of taking your clothes and making him king, you know, as if this is the coronation. It's so spontaneous. It's so earthy. It's an amazing movement. And it continues here. We're ready finally to vomit out the lies of the shalom. And that's why Yehu keeps saying, what shalom? Who shalom? What, you're going to talk to me now with lies when I'm coming to deal with reality once and for all? It's the crazies that are real, and it's the supposed mimsad that are insane. So all the institutions have gone to pot, and you're asking me, is everything okay? Of course everything's not okay. It's the opposite of okay. It's like the Israeli idea. It's never beseder. And that's why he's making so much fun. That was the hashalom in those days. It was exactly that idea. And so Yehu comes in, and she says to him, very sarcastically, again, if you're reading this, look how difficult it is to read it the way Rashi reads it, the way many of the Mepharshim read it, that she dressed up in order to be seductive. Hashalom Zimri Horeg Adonav. I mean, obviously she's being sarcastic. So, everything okay, you rotten murderer? So how are you going to read that as being seductive? Well, it's not so bad. There's an old tradition to kill your master. It's okay. You're just like Zimri. Ah, come on. I mean, it's very difficult to believe that that's the point. So, we hear it as sarcasm. In other words, I mean, I'm not going to play your games. I understand that you're the one who's making a laughingstock of shalom. So she's basically telling him, I'm not going to ask you for shalom. How could there be shalom for a murderer, a slave who attacks his master? So she takes it and throws it in his face. He's the one that's been making fun of everybody else for shalom. So she says, I suppose everybody's saying good morning to you, you bum. So she understood that those were basically her last words. He looks up to the window where she is. And he says, me. Is anybody up there who's with me? Look at the popular. He's convinced that everybody wants to get rid of her. And there's three guys that look out that are like her personal entourage, from the window, and he says, will you just dump her, please? When you're a sheep, do a dumper from the window. Vayishmetu, and they throw her out the window. Unbelievable picture.
Defenestration.
This is the classic defenestration. And she splatters her blood on the wall of the palace. And then he rides over her just to crush her nicely. Because after all, part of the neviut was that there should be nothing left of her, that no one will even recognize her as being, he pulverizes her. And then he sits down for a good beer. This is Yehu, you gotta remember, this is the madman who drives like a nut, who's able to do things that nobody else would do. And this is exactly what a Mishuga does. His minha, completely uninhibited, completely weird, that nobody else would have the guts to do these kind of things. So he is bedafka, gonna sit down, now have a hot dog and a beer, while the horses are meanwhile. And then he says, okay, you know what? Go take a look at that rotten witch. He says, or the damned woman is etarurazot, bigduna etarurazot. I mean, look, I can't completely treat her like a garbage can, because after all, she is the daughter of a king. Some king, goyish a king. So at least bury her. V'kivrua kibat melachi v'yochula kovra. So they went to bury her, but Eliot is not going to be any kivrua. And there was nothing left to bury, because the dogs had been eating. V'lo matzuba ki'im, that's exactly. Ki'im ha'gul golet, all that was left was her skull. V'araglayim, and her feet, v'kapot ha'yadayim, and her palms. Why these? Says the Medrash, because this is an unbelievable Medrash. And it means this is the point of the pasuk. We are used to, because of the things that we absorb in childhood, the way people talk about Izebel, after Yehu has reduced her to an arura and a witch and so on, but we don't recognize the fact is that she was the Malchut. The way the Medrash says it, there were four women, that there were Noagot b'Malchut. Izebel was Noaget b'Malchut across the world. She was a famous woman. There's not only Achav who got all over the world. Everybody knew it was Izebel. Everybody knew that he was worthless. So that there were things that people were relating to in her of grandeur. She was a grand woman. And this moment of murder, she insisted on being grand till the end. But he had to go out of his way to try to destroy her in this fashion. It was to make her into an arura. That's why he does all of this, because he recognizes that she has a tremendous following. It's this pasuk that tells us the following. It's an amazing Tanav Elio. Unbelievable. I mean, it actually occurs in many, many midrashim. Why Davka Gugolet Raglayim Kapot HaYadayim? Because she would personally go out to dance in front of every Chasson Mekala that came by. So she was a populist. And a Gomelis Chesed brings Reifner. You see that Gomelis Chasodim can overcome even the greatest Klolos. Because look, this was what was left of her body. When there was a mace that passed by, she would always walk with the levayas, or her feet. She would motion with her head when she was juggling in front of the Chas of Akala and do all kinds of tricks. This is the great Izebel. In other words, this is an Izebel that people really wanted her presence. So we're used to her as this horrible witch, this wicked woman who had no mercy, a murderer. And Lamaisa, what happens to her here, happens to her, as the Mefarshim point out, is Bita Keneged Bita. This is an act of skila, throwing her off of the window and then trampling her. And that's exactly what she had done to Navot. So this is her mida keneged mida, keneged Navot. But Lamaisa, any element of chasodim that were in her, that had been attractive to the people, the pasuk goes out of its way to say, that survives, even in an Izebel. Unbelievable. And so, they found nothing, and they go back to Yehu. Vayashuvu vayagidulo. There's nothing to bury. Vayoma, well, what can you do? Devar Adonai, that's exactly what was said. Remember? Asher diber biyad avdo Eliyahu atishbi lemor. You remember that this all goes back to Eliyahu. And we saw yesterday, Barnea pointed out, that we only mentioned kazot v'kazot. He said this. Those were the things that were the things that Eliyahu himself hadn't said to say. And the only thing he mentions is what Eliyahu did say. So that, Elisha, which Elisha was giving over from Eliyahu. So what we have over is the Eliyahu, Elisha, Yonah, but Benat Tzarfatit, together with the story of the Gehazi and Yoram, and the Maisim of Zot Aisha, Zeb Benach, that introduced the entire parak, so that it all comes to integrate now vision of Eliyahu from the very beginning to the people who were there, the only two people that we know of. They were Tzamud in their language. They were Tzamud. Our chariot was Tzamud. We overheard the conversation that was said to Ya'akov by Eliyahu. This is one of the things we heard. Be'arav do Eliyahu atish bilemor. Bechelek Yisrael, Yochlu haklavim et basar izava. The dogs will eat the flesh of izava. I think it was literal. My God. It turned out to be literal. They literally ate her body. Vaitaniv lati zevo kedomen alpnei asadeh bechelek Yisrael asher lo yomru zot izava. And her body will be left like garbage on the field zevo. Domen is zevo, manure. That's left on the field that no one will be able to look at that body and identify it as Izabel at all. And that, of course, is the exact opposite of what she was trying to achieve in her death. At least the glorious death of a beautiful woman who would attack the Zimri, Horeg Adonav, and instead was reduced to Zevel. For as Izabel indicates, her end, in fact, was to be Zevel.